Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day, whether you're listening Saturday on the air or you're listening on the podcast on whatever day you so choose. That's right. If you don't know, this show is available as a podcast. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. You just search for Let's Go Pensacola, and you can download this full episode and listen to it at your leisure. Or you can listen to it on the air, where we're very happy to have you here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620 at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. Either way you're listening, we're glad you're listening. Hope you enjoy the show. We're going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often on the show, please welcome from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Get ready for a news dump. We got a lot of news to talk about.
We do.
Excited about it.
There is so much news, and it's funny because, like, there's been this discussion over the last, like, year or two that, oh, we're done with peak television. Peak television is over, and things are going to slow down to a more manageable array of content coming out at people. Because it often feels like there's a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to the extent that there's too much content. I just don't think that they've slowed down. I think that's
doesn't
a lot.
Seem like it.
Yeah, I don't think peak television is over. I don't think peak television is over in terms of quality. And I don't think peak television is over in terms of quantity. I think, and here's my evidence for this, Jeremy. There have been in the past few weeks a number of things that have dropped on various streaming services that I would have thought would have been, you know, hey, everybody come watch this. Make sure the world knows that this is here and it's ready to be watched. That, like, they've just put out there. And if you really weren't paying that close attention, you didn't know it was there.
No.
And like, that to me is a problem, because to me it's stuff that, the stuff that I'm specifically referring to is stuff that I've been looking forward to. And
I,
like,
got
somebody like me who's, as you know, who pays attention to all of the industry sites and, you know, mm-hmm. keeps up with the news and everything, it's like, you know, at some point it's like, well, are you tanking this intentionally?
Are you? Hit me with one. You got a good example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I've got a great example. And apparently I'm, you know, a little bit off base because the news has come out that it's doing very well. But Umbrella Academy, final season of the Umbrella Academy, great series on Netflix, interesting series based on Gerard Way's comic books that I just absolutely loved the first three seasons of. Season four is the final season. Apparently dropped on Netflix in the last, I don't know, week, month, year. I have no idea when they dropped it. I just all of a sudden, like, as of like 4 days ago, saw one person mention, oh, I loved watching season four of the Umbrella Academy. I was like, that's out?
Huh.
And then I did see a story on Deadline like yesterday saying, oh, it's, you know, the number two show on Netflix. So somebody's finding out it's there, but I have not seen one bit of promotion for this.
You mentioned something before we started recording, and that is just basically that because Netflix is so big that inevitably people are going to log in. You think that they're just kind of banking on, like, we don't even need to spend advertising dollars.
I wonder if that's the case, because Netflix, you know, is the biggest streaming service there is, period, full stop. You know, there's a lot. And you see this in the way that sometimes people don't discover a series until its life elsewhere ends and it ends up on Netflix. Great example being Suits.
Suits.
Suits was around for years. It ran on, I think, USA, I want to say. And then, you know, it was around on various streaming services, and then it hit Netflix, and all of a sudden it became this huge show, to the extent that we're now going to get a spinoff series on NBC. And, you know, people just discovered Suits, and it became, there's this hope now that this, there's this wrestling series on Stars called Heels that ran for two seasons that the people involved in it would very much like to make more of, but Stars dropped it, and now it's getting ready to come out on Netflix, and there's this hope amongst the people involved in that. Ironically, one of which is the star of that series was Stephen Amell, who is now going to be the star of the new Suits spinoff.
Oh, interesting.
So,
that's a cool little parallel.
Yeah, a little bit of a parallel going on there, but there's this hope that people are going to find Suits on Netflix, and that could lead to them getting more seasons of Heels. Suits, Heels, whatever. You know, it's all clothing items.
Yeah,
so, So there is a point to which I would have to say that from Netflix's standpoint, they've got a point, and that, you know, just putting it on their main screen might be in promotion enough. But yeah, for something like Umbrella Academy that did build up a big audience, and it might not necessarily be people, because I'm a person that I don't go on Netflix every single day. I might go on Netflix once every couple of months because I have other streaming services either. And other shows I watch and a life and, you know, a job and things like that. But when there's something coming up there that I know I want to see, I do go to it. I say that, but there's stuff that I haven't got up with yet, like Dead Boy Detectives, that is a Sandman spinoff that I really want to watch that I haven't watched yet. But, you know, when I hope they don't do the same thing when season two of Sandman drops, because that's something I'm really looking forward to. But yeah, so that's one on HBO Max. Or it's just Max. I keep wanting to call it HBO Max. It's just Max. We've got the first season of the Harley Quinn spinoff, Kite Man. Kite Man, Hell Yeah, is actually the correct title of the series.
Uh-huh.
Again, I've been looking forward to that for some time now because I'm a big fan of the Harley Quinn animated series.
Same.
And we got four episodes in before I knew it was already out. So
yeah,
I've now watched the first four episodes of it. I liked it. I think I'm an episode or two behind now because I think another one or two have dropped since then. But, you know, this is a new series that's a spinoff of a very popular series that I feel like, well, are you just not, you don't care if it finds an audience because you didn't let people know it's out there?
Yeah.
So that's a little different because I don't think the front page of Max has the same impact that the front page of Netflix does. So I feel like they did need to push that series and they've just let it fall by the wayside for whatever reason. I don't know why. Because it's just as good as Harley Quinn. It's a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend you check it out. We've also got the new Batman series on Amazon that, again, they just dropped the whole series. No.
Weird that it's on Amazon, right?
Well, that's that you can blame Zazie's Fun Time Escapades for that. David okay. Zaslav, the guy behind the slow, dripping death of Warner Brothers. that series has gone to Amazon, and I have seen a little buzz on that and people that are watching it and saying it's really good, but again, it was just dropped unceremoniously with no real advertising. Season two of Star Trek Prodigy, another great example of this, which we knew was going to Netflix, haven't really seen them pushing it. Apparently it's doing well on Netflix, but again, that's Netflix, so maybe just being on the front page of Netflix is enough. I don't understand. You mentioned a movie that dropped on Amazon that's starring John Cena and Awkwafina.
Well, yeah, that's just
I hadn't even heard of it.
You said you don't log into Netflix very often. I don't log into Prime very often. A lot of stuff on there. It's just not in my habit. I was scrolling yesterday. I saw a movie called Jackpot. I mean, John Cena is one of the hugest stars that we have right now, and Awkwafina also very popular, got a big draw to her name as well. And if I would not have logged on to Amazon Prime and been scrolling, would have never known it came out. And it's a fun watch. I can see why it didn't get a theatrical release, but it was a good enough time. It's directed by Paul Feig, so to your point, it's interesting that these big names even and big franchises and big characters like Batman aren't getting the kind of fanfare that you would expect.
Didn't you say Simu Liu is in this movie as well?
Yeah. Got a major role.
So you've got the two stars of Shang-Chi, probably the best movie of Marvel Phase 4.
Absolutely.
And why haven't we had a sequel to that yet?
It's a good question. And maybe it's on the back pages of Disney Plus and we just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, that could be. You know, who knows? Maybe they dropped it on Disney Plus and didn't do anything with it. Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. And I recognize there's only so many spaces to put eyeballs in front of, but you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen ads for Marvel Snap on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point.
Buy a YouTube ad, do something, promote your show. Let me know it's there. Got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. Jeremy, we've got a ton of recent news that we want to get to and kind of talk about some things that are coming up. And that song, A, kind of feels ironically appropriate for some of it, but B, there's a bigger reason why I wanted to play some Nine Inch Nails coming in here. One of the big things that's happened in the recent entertainment news pass is the big D23 Expo. And that's where Disney basically comes out and has a big fan event where they get people hyped about all the stuff they've got coming out, not just, you know, across Disney, across Disney Plus, across Star Wars, across Marvel, across Pixar, you know, across all the various Disney companies. You know, these are the stuff that we want the fans to be hyped up about. So one of the things that they released at D23 involves Nine Inch Nails, surprisingly enough. Now, maybe that shouldn't be a surprise because Trent Reznor is a double Academy Award winner for his score work, one of which is an Academy Award for a Pixar film, for Soul. He and Atticus...
Great music.
Atticus Ross wrote the score for that along with John Baptiste. But this is not Trent Reznor's scoring our movie situation. This is a Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack for this movie. And that's going to be Tron Ares, the third Tron film.
Talk about wanting to get me excited. I mean, you nailed it. You kind of asked on the break, like, hey, what do you want to jump back into? Oh, wait, it just dawned on me. And that this is easily the most interesting and exciting news for me. Huge Nine
really?
Inch Nails fan.
See, because because of Nine Inch Nails or because of Tron?
A little bit of both. So okay. I love all of the Tron movies, but I think the last one was phenomenal. And once I realized that they were doing a third one, I'm like, well, you can't bring back Daft Punk. And Daft Punk was so pivotal to making that movie what it was. Who is the equivalent of that? Is it Justice, that French DJ duet?
Who could
we possibly bring in?
That would be interesting.
Justice is awesome. But when you say Nine Inch Nails is going to be scoring the new Tron movie, I would love to hear their take on synthwave. I want to hear how they kind of incorporate their style, which, you know, Pretty Hate Machine did come out back in 1988. I want to hear how they kind of fuse the industrial sound with the synthwave sound that we've kind of come to expect with the 80s retro futurist kind of vibe. So I think this is awesome. I know that you and a lot of people, and justifiably so, are not as hot on Jared Leto, but I've seen him turn in some phenomenal performances. I liked him in Blade Runner 2049. He was also really good in like Dallas Buyers Club. He's got some seriously terrible roles, but I think under the right circumstances, the guy's really talented. So like,
here's
I
the
love
thing.
The aesthetic and the vibe.
Here's the thing. Dude can act. I know that I like to make out that Jared Leto is my arch enemy, and some of that's for fun, and some of that's just because I think he's an asshat. But
yeah,
I hope I could say that on the radio, but you know, that's fine. And he kind of is, you know, he's kind of a pompous, pretentious jerk, according to lots of people. And you know, I've seen a slight bit of it firsthand, but. That it would be selling the guy short to say that he can't act. Now, I'm glad that his band isn't scoring this because that would be a whole other story. But but I am a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, and I'm also just a little bit torn on the Tron franchise in general. Like I am a fan of both of the I am a fan of both of the Tron movies. But this is a franchise that has never really been financially successful. Like the first Tron didn't really make money. And the second Tron didn't really make money.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, here's Disney saying, oh, we're going to make you like Tron this time. Are you?
We promise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I know that there is a big Tron fandom out there. And I mean, I would consider myself a part of it. But I just don't know that it's enough of a fandom to justify continuing to make these movies. Like, maybe
no,
you take it into...
so squarely at Gen Xers. And, I mean, there's plenty of us. I mean, I'm a late millennial. There's plenty of us out there, though. But, yeah, it is a very niche thing. And I don't know that it has the kind of broad appeal of a lot of the movies we're going to talk about.
Yeah, the flip side is maybe the third time's the charm, and maybe this one's the big hit, and it, you know there's no telling, you know. I just hope it's a good movie. I hope that it's something that the fans really like. I like the concept here in that instead of it being, you know, humans get sucked into the technological world, we've got a technological villain that's trying to take over the real world. I feel like
I didn't know that. That's cool.
I feel like that's very timely. I feel with the, you know, mm-hmm. the rise of AI and, you know, everything else that we could discuss that's going on in the real world, that is an interesting perspective. And I think that the idea of having Nine Inch Nails do the soundtrack for something that has the potential to be a lot darker
mm-hmm.
makes a lot of sense. The Daft Punk soundtrack for the previous Tron movie was outstanding.
Unbelievable.
And if they can pair this to this film, as well as the Daft Punk soundtrack was paired to the previous Tron film, we have the potential to have something very special here.
Agreed.
So yeah, I mean, I won't lie. The Nine Inch Nails news does make me more excited about that movie than I was. I'm still about the whole thing. I still want to see a trailer, you know, and then maybe I'll feel a little bit more strongly one way or the other. But interesting news nonetheless. There's a lot of like little like niche bits of news out of this, and with, you know, we'll get to some of the big more like general audience stuff later. But like, as an example, Jeremy, are you one of the people that's apparently clamoring for a Freaky Friday 2?
Nope.
But
nope,
apparently,
not at all.
Apparently they exist. Like, apparently there's a big like hardcore, like we're here for the return of Lindsay Lohan. Like, this is the big Lindsay Lohan comeback. Who knew?
Is Jamie Lee Curtis in it?
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it too. Yeah, they are back to once again swap bodies, I guess.
Great.
Yeah, it's going to be called Freakier Friday.
Smart.
And yeah, they released a handful of pictures and they came out and talked about this movie, etc. But this is something that apparently came out of fan demand. Like, people were really wanting a sequel. And I don't know if people realize this, but that movie was a remake.
Yeah.
It was like the third remake, if I remember correctly. Second or third remake of the original film came out in the late 60s, early 70s with Jodie Foster. And Jodie Foster was not the parent in this. Jodie Foster was the kid. So that's how old this is. You know, and then I think there was a TV or a Disney Channel version or something like that in the 80s or 90s. Do you even remember what year the Lindsay Lohan version of Freaky Friday came out?
I'm going to shoot in the dark and say 1998, but it might have been a little before that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, I would think late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. You know, between that and the cameo in the Mean Girls musical earlier this year, you know, is Lindsay Lohan coming back to box office supremacy?
Let's go. You know, as excited as I am about Tron Ares, I'm sure there's an audience out there, like you said, that is clamoring for this, and it's great that they're getting it. I'm sure it's not a very big financial gamble, where something like Tron, I imagine, could be. So, like, you know, right on. I hope it's good for people who like that movie. I don't think I've ever seen it before.
I will be honest with you. I definitely have not seen it.
Yeah.
I got no knock against it, for it or against it. I know, I'm not, I just am like, who was asking for this? Somebody was. I mean, yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe the answer to that question is it's millennial women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. that would make some sense. I mean, I guess, you know, this is the real answer to my question. It's the same people that were clamoring for Hocus Pocus too.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah, which again is like, really? You guys want that? But people wanted it and they got it. And I guess what's the verdict on that? Did that do well? I mean, I know it was released just to Disney Plus, but that was even a movie that wasn't a hit when it first came out. Like it did not do well theatrically. It became a hit on years and years of cable reruns. It did not become a hit in theaters. Freaky Friday, I think, did well theatrically.
Yeah, it's so weird when they release movies just to streaming because there is no box office. Who knows if it was a hit or not?
Yeah, but this is apparently going to be a theatrical release. So,
and
it's,
wow,
and it's coming next year. You know, we're not far off from it. So, yeah, that's the thing that's happening. For better or for worse. We got a lot of there's a lot of like the whole live action remake thing is continuing too. We've got the live action Snow White that we knew was coming with Rachel Zegler in the lead role and Gal Gadot as the Evil Queen.
Shout out to Peter Dinklage, our boy from Game of Thrones. Huge fan of Peter Dinklage. Put seven little people out of work with his off-cuff remarks about casting dwarfs in movies. So now dwarfs get no roles in movies. Everybody applaud. Good job, Peter Dinklage.
I didn't know that happened. That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah, he was basically very offended, and understandably so. Like, it's more nuanced than I'm making it, but they could have cast, and I don't know if dwarf is even the proper word anymore. I mean, no disparagement towards any of that community, and actually think that this would have been a great opportunity to showcase some dwarf actors other than Peter Dinklage, but because of his controversial stance against it, now we get weird little CGI freakish half cartoon, half live action takes on the characters. Not a fan. Wish they would have went the other way.
Well, we'll talk about some more about the D23 news when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Everything.
It's been Agatha all along.
Who's been pulling every evil string?
It's been Agatha all along.
She's insidious. So perfidious that you haven't even noticed. And to fix anything now that everything has gone wrong. Thanks to Agatha, naughty Agatha.
It's been Agatha all along. And I killed Sparky too.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. We're digging into a lot of the entertainment news that's come down in the last little bit. Right now, stuff that's come out of D23, the big Disney exposition. And one of the things we got is for something that's just a couple weeks off now, the series Agatha All Along, the Marvel series coming to Disney Plus on September 18th. So you can probably look forward to us talking about that on the show here pretty regularly in the near future. And, you know, I've seen some back and forth about this show, Jeremy, where there's been some people like, who's asked for this, that kind of thing. You know, first of all, WandaVision was fantastic. Whatever else, you know, we could quibble about the quality of some of the Disney Plus stuff from Marvel that has followed it. But WandaVision was just about damn near perfect. And I liked this character. I want to see what she does next. Catherine Hahn, love her. Aubrey Plaza's in this. I would watch her read the phone book. Incredible cast. And this looks dark. And I'm here for it, man. What about you? What did you think of the new trailer?
Yeah, I think it looks great. Like you said, with WandaVision, it's a really good show. And if you got something that works, lean into it. Like, Agatha Harkness was easily one of the standouts of the series. And this trailer is really good. And Aubrey Plaza is really good. So this is one I'm actually looking forward to, and the fact that it's coming out around Halloween season is, like, perfect timing for something like this. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize that, like, maybe the character isn't the, you know, the primary mover in the Marvel Universe or anything, but you know what? So what? You know, at one time, neither was Iron Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, just make a good show. I don't know if they have or not. We won't know that until we actually watch it, but the trailer sure looks entertaining as hell.
It's interesting. It's like things coming back into the zeitgeist right now, with Wicked being released in the movie theaters pretty soon, and now Agatha All Along leading into the Wizard of Oz thing. You feel that iconography from this really classic Hollywood fantasy is kind of come back around, and I think that's interesting. I don't love the trailer for Wicked. That's not what we're here to talk about. I feel like Agatha All Along is going to handle it really well, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we could talk about that, too. I did like the trailer for Wicked. I'm interested to see where that goes. But, yeah, I mean, witches are back in the spotlight. You know what it is? It all goes back to Hocus Pocus, too.
Oh, yeah, I see you mentioned that. And that's actually definitely 100% it.
I'm kidding. You know, again, you know, the people that like that, no slight to you. I hope you had a good time with it. But I didn't see the first Hocus Pocus either, so I've got no particular... I don't have anything good or bad about Hocus Pocus. It's just a thing that exists.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is interesting how like sometimes things just like kind of come into the zeitgeist like that and take back over. Now, do you think that we're seeing the same thing happening with Daredevil right now? Because you know, I feel like we got a little bit of reference to him in Deadpool and Wolverine, as well as seeing Elektra. And you know, we had we had him show up in She-Hulk. We had the Echo series, which is another thing that kind of just got dropped with no real, you know, anything behind it. But Daredevil and Kingpin both showing up in that. And now we've got the first video that was out from released at D23, although it wasn't released to the public. So you and I haven't seen it. But there was video released at D23 previewing Daredevil Born Again, which is coming next season. And the thing I'm interested with this more than anything else is they started out with this series being kind of a reboot, and they filmed some stuff and Kevin Feige saw it and said, no, this sucks, and went back to basically scrap that and start over and decide, you know what? The Netflix stuff is canon now. And this is now a direct sequel to the Daredevil series on Netflix.
I prefer that with a certain level of apprehension. What that leaves us with now is, while I love the Netflix series, how does it translate? And I believe we got a little bit of what the tone will be like in both Echo and Moon Knight, as far as how far they can kind of push the rating scale. And I'm not saying that things have to be bloody to be good. Certainly not. We've loved almost every Marvel project that's come out. So it's not that. It's just, can it exist in that same world and retain the things that made the Netflix Daredevil so fascinating and well executed in the first place? I think that we're in pretty good hands. However, that is kind of that's what I'm a little concerned with, is tonally, are they going to be able to make it feel like it exists in that same universe?
Well, we've got all the major players coming back. We've got, of course, Charlie Cox's Daredevil. We've got Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. Elden mm-hmm. Henson back as Foggy Nelson, and Deborah Ann Woll back as Karen Page, which those were both question marks when this first started. Like they were gonna leave them out. I'm so glad they didn't, because I think they're crucial
Agreed.
Characters. And we also have Jon Bernthal back as the Punisher.
So, yeah, that's interesting, you know, too.
Character that started out in the Daredevil series, then got two seasons of his own series on Netflix.
Pretty good, I thought.
Here's the other thing that I'm hoping. If this is canon, I want all the Marvel Netflix stuff to be canon. So what I want here, what my shorthand here is that I'm excited about this show. I want this show. But you know what? You know what I want even more than that? I want Kristen Ritter back as Jessica Jones. Damn it.
She's awesome. Yeah, I'd love that.
And, you know, I want Mike Coulter back as Luke Cage, too. I think he was a great Luke Cage. And, you know, Finn Jones as Iron Fist is also a thing that happened. So,
it happened, yeah. And Defenders as well.
Yeah. So you know, maybe we see that, too. I don't know. There's been some buzz that maybe he shows up in Shang-Chi, too. And to that I say, first we have to have a Shang-Chi, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, that, you know, that would be something I'd like to see at some point, but that's neither here nor there. But what do you think overall about the idea of like canonizing all of that Netflix stuff? And there's nothing in those series that contradicts anything in the MCU. Like, there was always allusions to the MCU in those things. There'd, you know, be headlines about the Battle of New York or, you know, things like that. Like, they always kind of acknowledged the MCU, but the MCU just wasn't focusing on them.
So with the multiverse being a thing that allows all sorts of freedoms and liberties, what I liked about the Netflix Marvel stuff is that they did tend to exist in a world unto themselves. That said, there was definitely a reference to the event in New York in 2012, specifically referencing the Avengers and all of that stuff. So it clearly could take place in the same universe. And in fact, you're saying that it does, which is fine. But these kind of heroes, they work better as their own team. I think they work better as defenders than they do as Avengers, because once you put these characters in those type of scenarios, I think it loses a little element of what makes them like gritty and grounded and realistic in the first place. But you know,
but I don't think it's a problem to have them in the same universe any more than it is in the comics, because these characters work on a different level than the Avengers do. They work on a street level. And I think that was shown in not only in the Netflix series, but in things like Hawkeye. You had Kingpin show up in that, and it wasn't, you know, he wasn't all of a sudden, you know, trying to take over the world or anything like that, or, you know, leading an alien armada. It was, that was still a pretty overall grounded and more street level adventure with the character of Hawkeye, who can work on both levels. Some of these characters can work on both levels. Spider-Man is definitely a character that works on both the street level and on the bigger Avengers type scale level. And some of these other characters can too. Luke Cage can.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it works for them to have not, they don't need to be acknowledged in the Avengers, because what they were doing isn't really big enough to be acknowledged in the Avengers.
Right.
And that's okay. Right. You could tell these kinds of stories too, and you should tell these kinds of stories too. So yeah, I'm here for it. I'm good with them, that all being in the universe. And if it means we get, you know, and in fairness, we have had Charlie Cox show up as Matt Murdock in a Spider-Man movie too.
And She-Hulk. So it definitely has already started to intertwine. I just feel like that already removes it from the Netflix stuff and integrates it into the MCU, which is ultimately the plan in the first place. I just, I have my, what I liked about Daredevil was different than what I liked about Daredevil and She-Hulk.
That's fair enough. But, you know, this universe should be big enough that it can all work. And I think it can. And I think you can have that thing where Daredevil can be a pretty grim character, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a light side. You know, nobody is grim all the time. So, and then last but not least, we've got footage finally released of the show that's been in the can for some time, Ironheart, spinning off from Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, with Ryan Coogler showing up, and you know, he's very much involved in this show. And we have the Hood is the villain in this, played by Anthony Ramos, who was in, of course, Hamilton and In the Heights, and kind of a big actor in the moment. This is another series where it's been like, okay, that's happening. Are you any more excited about it, seeing some of the stuff coming out on it?
Yeah, I am. I like the DIY aesthetic of the suit. I liked the character a lot in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I think whatever issues people may have had with the film or with the character or with her use in the movie isn't really related to the performance or to what is interesting about the character in the first place. I didn't care for the suit. I know it's like a little nitpick, whatever. If she ends up back with the suit from the Wakandans at the end of the series, that's all fine with me. But I like the fact that they're going a little more back to the basics, like Tony's, the Mark One and the caves and stuff like that. I think that's cool.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel and YouTube. And Jeremy, we're going through all this news that came out of D23, some of the other entertainment news that's going on in the world right now. I was surprised to see that there's a new Goonies movie coming out.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's but for some reason it's set in the Star Wars universe and called Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, I'm kind of here for it, Julio. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's basically what this is, right? It's a series. It's not a movie. This is coming to Disney Plus. It's called Skeleton Crew, and it's going to be debuting on Disney Plus on December 3rd, the next Star Wars series on Disney Plus with Jude Law and a whole bunch of kids, which, you know, Jude Law does have a whole bunch of kids, as we in Pensacola know. Well, you know, there's one of them that may have been fathered out of wedlock in this very community. But
what?
Oh, you don't know about that?
No.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing.
I guess so.
That's the whole thing that happened. But yeah, that is a whole thing that happened. But at any rate, yeah, this very much looks like the Goonies in the Star Wars universe if you've watched the trailer that was dropped at Disney at D23. What do you think about this one, Jeremy?
I like it. I have been a little more lukewarm on the majority of the Star Wars Disney Plus series, with the exception being Andor, which I find to be exceptional. And what I like about Andor is it found an audience. It chose an audience and said, hey, we're going to make a Star Wars movie for adults. We're going to make a Star Wars, series, not movie, for adults that maybe want something a little more political, a little more character driven, and they committed to that. And there wasn't a whole lot of trying to cater to everyone in the same way that other Star Wars projects have been in the past, and I respect it and I appreciate it for that. One thing is, though, there's not been a lot of examples where you could point to a Star Wars property, maybe sort of like the Ewok Adventures, maybe there's other examples that I'm missing, but where you say, all right, we're going to squarely target a kid audience. I mean, the biggest appeal of Star Wars is that childlike sense of wonder, connecting with a person at that right time and place in their life where it really speaks to them. And by making it a bunch of like preteen, maybe early teen actors, I'm not exactly sure how old they are.
I think they're a little younger than that even. I think these are like, we're talking like older elementary school kids, it looks like to me.
Maybe tweens. Great. To have a series where the cast is actually the perfect age for kids who may be discovering it, I think gives it a chance for longevity in their lives in the same way maybe early Star Wars did to us. Even though there were no kid characters in that, Luke was still supposed to be a young character. So, like, I know my logic isn't exactly airtight, but I say all that to say the fact is there's a vicariousness to it, and I think that they're going with that Amblin tone and the way the music hits and the sense of wonder of the kids of going on this journey for the first time, the Goonies comparison. I think all of that is a lot of fun, and even if it doesn't, you know, 100% land for me, I think that it's really cool that they're doing this one.
Yeah, and this is from John Watts, who is behind the Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. So, you know,
That's cool.
Yeah, so quality behind it. Now, it's funny you should mention Andor, because we did get some first look footage from Andor season 2 also at D23, which we haven't seen publicly, but there's been a lot of discussion. We're going to get to see some of the characters from Rogue One show up in this series, characters like Director Krennic and K2SO. So, yeah, I mean, you said it yourself earlier. I think Andor has been some of the best Star Wars we've gotten, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm absolutely here for that. And then we also got a little preview of the upcoming The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is the full title of this film that's just started shooting a few weeks ago. We get to see Grogu in some Beskar armor. We're going to see AT-ATs, and planet looks like Hoth.
Yeah, it does. It does look like Hoth.
So we're going to be interested to see how that goes. We're not going to see this movie until 2026, and this is going to be a theatrical film. So this is one of the few things that came out of D23. The only thing that came out of D23 from Marvel or Star Wars that was an actual theatrical release and not a motion picture. In Marvel's case, because they gave us a lot of the movie stuff at San Diego Comic-Con a few weeks back. So,
yeah.
Lots of other stuff dropped. A lot of Pixar news. Perhaps the one that's most exciting is Incredibles 3, because I think both of the first two Incredibles movies were just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I hope... Here's my thinking on this. This is just in development right now. Brad Bird is back to work on this. He was the guy behind the first two movies. Some of the best superhero movies we've gotten. And I was really thinking about this. The first movie was really Mr. Incredible's movie. The second movie was really Elastigirl's movie. So I really hope that this... I really hope that this movie is either Violet's movie or Dash's movie.
Yeah.
I think Violet is the way to go here. But
agreed.
But, you know,
Incredibles 1, I think Dash was a pretty substantial part of as well.
Well, I mean, they're all a substantial part of all of the movies, but the focal character in the first one was definitely Mr. Incredible. The focal character in the second one was really Elastigirl.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be cool to continue that trend and focus on one of the kids. And then you can do an Incredibles 4 down the line. It can focus on the fourth member of the family. You know, you've also got Jack in there, and you know, that's a whole other thing as well. New movie called Hoppers that we don't know too much about, but it's got John Hamm and Bobby Moynihan as the lead voices in it. We've got Elio that's going to be coming out next year. That's a whole nother brand new universe for Pixar. It's taking place in spacey new worlds unknown. Zoe Saldana was announced to be joining that movie. We're getting a Toy Story 5. Why?
So, look, I am very much in the camp of Toy Story 3 was the perfect ending. And then Toy Story 4 came out, and I was like, that was pretty good. So until we get one that, like, stinks, I guess I'm still on board for it. Like, I like the characters, and even though the fourth one already felt a little bit like, really? If the fifth one is as good as the fourth one, I'm all right with that.
We're also getting a spinoff series from Inside Out that's called Dream Productions that released its logo. It's also doing a original series called Win or Lose. So
cool.
Yeah, there's that. You know, we also got some news about some mainline Disney stuff. Moana 2, which is coming out later this year. There's a new trailer released for that. We've got some news about Frozen 3, Zootopia 2, which I was a big fan of the first Zootopia, so I am looking forward to that. And Ke Huy Quan, speaking of the Goonies, has joined the cast for Zootopia 2, playing Gary the Snake, a wanted reptile.
Okay.
So that will be fun. Yeah, a lot of stuff coming up, man. We didn't talk when we talked about the live action animated remakes. We've got the live action Lilo and Stitch coming out next year.
Oh yeah, Stitch looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It looks like Stitch.
It's always a little dicey on these things, but I think they did a better job than they did with the first render of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'll give you that.
I know that wasn't Disney, but you know, it's always at risk when you're trying to take that animated character into a photorealistic live action world.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. You know, outside of Disney, just a couple other things I wanted to mention real quick. We got a big like sizzle reel for upcoming stuff on Max and or HBO. And so we saw the first footage from the, the Hedge Knight adaptation called, the Game of Thrones spinoff series?
Knight of the Seven Kingdoms,
I think. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, yeah, that's it. So just a little bit of footage from that, but that's going to kind of stop the gap between House of the Dragon seasons 2 and 3. It'll come out next year. So you won't, kind of like, you know, it doesn't feel like there's 2 years between seasons of The Boys because you get Gen V. I think we'll get that in there, and that'll help. But what I'm really looking forward to out of that is the season 2 of The Last of Us, and man, just seeing that little bit of that sizzle reel just really got me excited for season 2 of The Last of Us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's definitely one I'm looking forward to. Just such an impressive elevation of the gaming adaptation, you know, series and movies too. So I think it'll be great.
Well, and yeah, like I said before, I think we've reached this time where, thanks to Last of Us and Fallout primarily, like, the bar has been raised for video game adaptations. And I don't think you can get away with these garbage video game adaptations anymore. And I think, you know, the greatest example of that is the fact that nobody's going to see Borderlands.
Right. Yeah.
Now, are you a Masters of the Universe guy?
You know, I just now added Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe to my list on Netflix. I, you know, had pretty much every He-Man action figure when I was young. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard, but I've always wanted to see a good adaptation of it.
Well, we've got Amazon is making a movie, and we had the announcement this week that Camila Mendez, who was on Riverdale, is going to be playing Tila. Alongside Nicholas Galantzine, who is playing Prince Adam / He-Man. I don't think I'm familiar with him. So that's something that's in the process too. We'll be talking about all this stuff as it comes along. We've got to go for now. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.